We're continuing our series on unique shilas of the week. So this particular shila is a little bit of a throwback back from Yontif time. We're still, I think we have enough shilas from Yontif time that may keep us going for the duration of the year, but this was a particular shila that came, and it was a strange thing because I started to get the shilas, same shila over and over and over again. I had the opportunity to speak about a little bit of my shul, so if there's any overlap, I apologize to anybody, but we'll try to flesh it out here in terms of the actual Maimonides themselves. So I started to notice that last week, I started to get the same shiloh from several Rabbanim. The question basically revolved around the same issue, and is also coincidentally an Avelis issue, not related to last week's Shia, but also an Avelis issue. That the question was, what do we do when the last day of Avelis is on Shabbos? Certain nuances in terms of what the status of the Avelim are on Shabbos morning. When exactly does the Avelis end? So I thought, okay, it was a coincidence. One Rav called me with a shiloh, another person called me, third person called me with the same kind of a shiloh about an Avelis, the last day of Avelis that ends on Shabbos. And then I started to scratch my head a little bit and ask myself, why am I getting the same shiloh dafka this week and all the week? And then I realized because there were so many Levayas that were on Sunday, because you couldn't have a Levaya a week and a half, you couldn't have a Levaya on Shmini Atzeres, you couldn't have a Levaya on Tzibut Torah, couldn't have a Levaya on Shabbos. So anyone who passed away in those 3-4 days, all Levayas were happening on Sunday. So you had so many Levayas on Sunday, which translated to mean so many Yom Shvi, so many last days of Shiva, was on Shabbos. But I started to scratch my head a little bit more and think, how come this only happened now? This is not the first time that we had a 3-day Yontif, not the first time this month that he had a 3-day Yontif. So I started to go back over a minute in time and think, wait a second, well, I couldn't have had these scenarios the week before, because Avelis doesn't start in Chol HaMoed. The person is passed away, the person is buried on the Yontif or Chol HaMoed, so the Avelis is put on hold, and it doesn't begin until after the Yontif is over. So that shiloh wouldn't have happened. So then I thought, well, why didn't I get the shiloh 2 weeks before in Rosh Hashanah? So the answer is because the seventh day of Avelis would be Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur cancels Avelis already at night of Yom Kippur. So I wouldn't have had that shiloh either. So I still was wondering, how come I don't remember getting the shiloh Pesach time ever? The answer is because the first day of Pesach wouldn't be a shiloh, because that would always be like the first day of Sukkot. The Shiva wouldn't begin till after Yom Tov. And there is no such thing as 3 days of the last day of Pesach. It's the way the calendar falls out. Pesach never ends on a Thursday, Friday, going into a Shabbat, so it just doesn't happen that way. And then I thought, what about Shavuos? You do get a 3 days of Shavuos, but you only get Shavuos, Shabbat, Sunday, Monday. The calendar works out. Never get a Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So I came to the realization that there's a very real reason why I haven't had the Shabbos the last 3-4 years, because this is the only way that you have this kind of a backup of Levayas that results in a backup of last days of Shiva. So now that we figured out why the Shabbos happens, what was the Shabbos? But the particular Shabbos that came was an interesting one that one of the Rabbanim, not from here, from else, called me and wanted to know. Somebody went to the Balabatim and asked that they were in Avil during last week. They're going to get up from Shiva. The last day of Shiva is technically speaking on Shabbos morning. And they wanted to know, are they allowed to go to the rabbi's class, to the rabbi's shiur, before davening? The rabbi usually gives a pasha shiur before davening. And they wanted to know, are they allowed to go or not? Because an Avil is not supposed to learn Torah, even on Shabbos. We'll see in a moment as we go on the parameters of that din. So an Avil is not supposed to be learning Torah. So the basic question was, when does the Avelus end? Does the Avelus end before davening? Does the Avelis end after davening? Does the Avelis end maybe sometime in the afternoon? So when exactly is the Gemara Dov, when is the Siyam HaAvelis, when the seventh day of Avelis falls out on Shabbos? So in order to understand the parameters of the Shaila, so let's go back to a general question of when does Avelis end? When does Shiva end? So the Gemara in the first of the Ramah Kamos, in Maseches Moikot and Daf Yud Tesim Beis, who does the following statement follow? Rav Amram said in the name of Rav, Avil, Kevin, She'amdu, Menachem, Me'etzla, Mutter, Berechitza. An Avil during the week, a regular day, when the Shiva comes to an end, once the Menachem, once the people who are coming to comfort him get up, at that point, Mutter, Berechitza. At that point, the Avil is permitted to take a shower. Normally, during the week of Shiva, an Avil is not permitted to shower. Sometimes this man has that, we're a little bit more lenient on the details of that, depending on how uncomfortable the person is. We bismana zeh shower much more often than they did in the olden days. We sweat a little more. So again, there's different parameters in terms of how this plays out lamaisa for us. But the din is that on the seventh day in the morning, once the menachem get up, so then the person is permitted to take a shower. Name of the shiva is over. So Gemara says, who does this statement of Ra follow? Kiman ka Abishol. This follows the view of Abishol. Abishol was the Tana who subscribed to the position of Miktas Hayom Kakulo. that the seventh day, the last day of Shiva, one need not observe the entire seventh day. Even part of the seventh day counts and qualifies as the culmination of Shiva. The Rabbanan disagreed with Abishol. The Rabbanan were of the opinion that you have to wait 7 full days. The Gemara says that we paskin halacha like Rav, like Abishol. Why do we paskin like Abishol? So if you skip down to the last line of the first Maimachum, the Amashmuel, lacha divrei Mekab Avil, because whenever you have shailas that come up in Ochas Avelos, so we tend to go lakula. We always follow the lenient view, at least in some cases in the Gemara, most of the cases in the Gemara, we follow the lenient view in Ochas Avelos. So to over here, even though most opinions in the Gemara were held that the Avelos does not end until the conclusion of the seventh day, halacha l'maaseh, so we accept the lenient view that the Avelos ends at the beginning of the seventh day. So the question is, what exactly does that mean? What does that translate l'maaseh to mean? The Gemara is very clear. What's called Amidas HaMenachemim, when the last comforters of that morning get up, that's when the Avelos ends. So the Shulchan Aruch, in the second of the Mamakamos, in Simin Shin Sadi Hei Sif Aleph, quotes this halacha, once the Menachemim leave on the seventh day, so all the Yisurim of Shiva fall by the wayside. Namely, the Avil cannot put on his shoes, can take a shower, Talmud Torah, whatever the regular Yisurim of Avelos are. The Mikdash Yom Kukulo. This principle of Mikdash Yom Kukulo exists. Lo Shna Mikdash Yom Shvi, Lo Shna Mikdash Yom Shloshim. But this applies also vis-a-vis the Yisurim of Shloshim. When the 30th day of Shloshim comes, so one need not wait till the end of the 30th day. Even the beginning of the 30th day, we apply the principle of Victus Yom Kukulo. But herein lies the problem. How are we going to fulfill the halach of Amidas HaMenachemim? There is no Amidas HaMenachemim on the 30th day. Nobody comes to comfort the Avelim once the Shiva is over. So now we have a little bit of a lack of parallel between the end of Shiva and the end of Shloshim. Both of these halachas we're applying the principle of Victus Yom Kukulo. Whereas in the end of Shiva, we have a clear demarcation of Amidas HaMenachemim, the end of the comforter. On Shloshim, we don't have that. So what do you do in the absence of Amidas HaMenachemim? So Shulchan Aruch continues, Kevan Shehein Etzacham Abiyam Shloshim. Once the sun rises, once the day technically begins, so that is the equivalent of the Amidas HaMenachemim of Shiva, but Mamed Gzeiras Shloshim. So for the regular halachas of Shiva, it's clear. Amidas HaMenachemim is the end. The regular halachas of Shloshim, it's clear. Netzachama is the end. Comes the Ramah now raises a technical problem in our communities, or at least in the Ramah's communities, not really in our communities. The Ramah writes, "Ago, v'medinos elu she'ein haMenachem regil level b'yom Zayin." In the Eastern European communities, apparently the custom was that Menachem did not come on the seventh day. There was no Nicham Avelim. Again, was the Avil coming to Shul to daven? I can't tell you what was going on in Poland in the 1500s, but the Ramah testified that nobody would come on the morning of the seventh day. So now we're in a pickle. Because if we're waiting for Amidas HaMenachemim, well, that's not going to happen. Well, the person's going to remain in Shiva forever. When's going to be the equivalent of Amidas HaMenachemim if there are no Menachemim? The Ramah writes as follows, Tzorch lahamtin at shor shiregilin haMenachemim lavo b'shayamim. So you have to wait until the equivalent of when the Menachemim would come on any other day. So let's say, for argument's sake, on Tuesday, that would be the sixth day of Shiva. So it would have people would come after davening by 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, the Menachem would be gone. So on Wednesday, the last day of Shiva, the Avelim have to wait until whatever time that is, whatever 9 o'clock, whatever time the Menachem came yesterday, that's called the equivalent of Amidas HaMenachemim. And when is that? How do you calculate that? So the Ramah writes, so you get the impression that the people would come after Minyan, the Menachem, the Avelim, and whenever that time is, equivalent time in the Yom HaShvi, Kainer Elisa, the Ramah, that's the end of Avelos. Then the Ramah makes reference to a misconception. The Lokomo Shiragilim Mahantan Shal Hayon. There are some people who say on the seventh day you wait an hour. We probably have all heard that notion. The last day of Shiva, you sit Shiva for an hour. Says the Ramah, Lohayid Vamiyon, there's no Shia of an hour. The Eina Dovatoli Rachman Isamanachar, that was made up. That hour doesn't correspond to anything. Where did this misconception of an hour come from? It probably came from how long it took to daven shacharis in the morning, and how long it took people to walk off from shul to the avelim, and how long it took for them to give you a little bit of a macham minachem. So add it all together, it took an hour. I'm not going to tell you what the breakdown, how long shacharis was, how long the spatzirim was, how much the shmuzim was, how much the herring and the kichel were. That I can't tell you. But the whole thing was probably about an hour. So the Ramah says, the real halach is that whatever the official time of Amidas HaMenachem.
So it would seem, what you have said based on this, that The Avelim did not have a minion in there.
That's what the Ramah is describing, right? The Ramah is describing that there was no minion. That's what the Ramah is describing, yeah. Yeah.
The Ramah couldn't have said, well, why don't we have the Ovel sit down in Shul, and the people came to daven. So on the seventh day, there'll be Menachemim, they'll leave, then the Ovel can leave.
You're assuming that the Ovel is coming to Shul. You're assuming the Ovel is coming to Shul, but that's also not so pushing. So the post can have a question. Let's say, normally there's a din that the Ovel is not supposed to leave his house. So if, for argument's sake, the community can't provide a minion, there are not enough people to go around to make two minyanim, and the community feels that they don't want to be mevatel the minyan in shul. So where does the Abel do at that point? So some achronim writes, he comes to shul. Another achronim says, yidam zin dechidus. Ah, he doesn't say kaddish, so he doesn't say kaddish. So that's a question. So what the Ramo was describing in Krakow seems to be that the Avelim weren't even coming to shul. Again, I don't know the inner dynamics of what's going on in Krakow in the 1500s, but the Ramo seems to be describing that that's what was happening. No, we're getting exactly the lead point. So I see you have a godlike tendency in you, so we're going to get that in a second. So up until now, we gave the background to what happens on the seventh day is on a regular weekday, but now our shaila is, well, how does this all play out when the seventh day is on a Shabbos? So it gets a little bit tricky because normally the criteria that we use are Amidas HaMenachemim. But the problem is we don't have Amidas HaMenachemim on Shabbos because our custom is that we're not Menachem Oval on Shabbos. So the truth is you really technically can be Menachem Oval on Shabbos. The Gemara says Shabbos, when you're Menachem Oval on Shabbos, you're supposed to say Shabbos Yimel Menachem. You're not supposed to give a normal nusach, a regular nusach of Nicham Avelim, so it shouldn't sound like a weekday. Supposed to alter the nusach a little bit, highlighting the fact that Shabbos is Menachem, it's not the right time to give a regular Nicham Avelim. But Lemaisa in our communities, we don't do that. Nobody comes to be Menachem Avel on Shabbos. The Avelim are not sitting on the floor on Shabbos anyway, so we're not going to be Menachem Avel to them. So now we're in a little bit of a bind. So what is the line of demarcation? When does Avelus end? So the Ramah told us that on a weekday, when there's no Avidus of Menachemim, it ends when davening is over. So maybe we should carry over that parallel to Shabbos as well. Maybe we should assume that just as the Ramah said you have to wait till Shul is over, so too on Shabbos you have to wait till Shul is over. Well, maybe one could argue that there's no dimyon, there's no comparison. On a weekday, it makes sense to wait till Shul is over, because normally on a weekday the Menachemim would come, whereas over here, it's Shabbos. Nobody's coming, nobody would ever come, and it's a different timing altogether. Davening on a Shabbos, we hope it's going to be a little bit longer than davening on the weekday. So the whole parallel to the weekday doesn't really fit. So this was a big machlokes haposkim, and the nafkamina, as you say correctly, the nafkamina is for a regular case, a regular scenario, and other wants to know when exactly is his avelus over. He's coming to shul Shabbos morning. He wants to know, Rabbi, when is my avelus over? What's the difference when his avelus is over? It's a big nafkamina because an avel is not supposed to get an aliyah. The reason why an avel doesn't get an aliyah is because an avel is not supposed to be learning Torah. Even on Shabbos, an avel is not supposed to get an aliyah. So the question is, when does his avelus end? So actually, there are two different things about this. Originally, we were talking about the topics of Shurim for the year, so somebody suggested maybe we should give a series of topics per profession. We'll give the medical topics, we'll give the legal topics, we'll give the business topics. I'm not sure that happened yet, but what seems to be developing here, this is the Gavai profession. That last week, we gave a whole shiur about the Gavai saga of Birchat Kohanim, and this is the second half of the Gavai. So many folks can say that this issue is the Gabbai's question, namely, should a Gabbai give an aliyah to an Ovel on the seventh day when the seventh day is Shabbos? Should he give the aliyah to Shachar? Should he give the aliyah to Mincha? And minhag is when a person finishes Avelus, they get an aliyah. When do you get the aliyah? So half the Achronim right, you get the aliyah to Shachar, and half the Achronim right, you get the aliyah to Mincha. What's the machlokes? Exactly this point, this very nekuda. Namely, when does the Avelus end? So l'chora, the answer to our question is, well, whatever the Gabbai Paskins about the when to give an aliyah, that should be the same question, whether the person can come to the shir. If you hold, you can give him already aliyah shacharis. You're basically assuming that the avelus is over first thing in the morning. If that's the case, then let the person do the date, let them come to the shir. But if you're holding like the custom not to give the aliyah till mincha, you're assuming like those poskim will say that the avelus is not over till after davening is over, that's the equivalent of amidas HaMenachemim. Then you shouldn't have the person come to the shir before davening. So I turned around to this rabbi who posed me the question, what's the minhag in your shul? So you give aliyahs to Avelim on the last day at Shachris, either way to Mincha. He said to me, he has no idea. He has to check with the Gabbai. So he never got back to me. So I'm not sure they had a minute kavua in that particular show. So this is one start to be a little bit makel. Again, we're not looking for chumis ruchas Avelim. The one side to be makel was to say, well, maybe the Avelim is already over based on pre-davening. Maybe that's the equivalent of the quasi midas HaMenachem. But then we had a couple of other possibilities to make this a little bit less of a shaila. Maybe we have to reevaluate when exactly we apply the principle of Mikzas Yom Kukulo to and when we don't. So we've been working with the assumption that Mikzas Yom Kukulo does not apply till the morning of the seventh day, which is really a strange thing, because we know that the halachic day begins the night before. So why are we tippling about waiting till the morning and then waiting past the morning? Why don't we say stop? Avelus ends the night before. So let's say the seventh night, the regular Tuesday night. Tuesday night going to Wednesday is the seventh day of Shiva. Once it gets dark on Tuesday night, the Menachem is still there. Once the Menachem get up on Tuesday night, we should say goodbye. That's it. The Avelus is over. Where did this idea come from that you have to wait mamish until the morning? What's the source of this idea that Mikzas Yom Kukulo only follows in the morning? So if you take a look at the third of the Mamre Kavos, the Pischa Tshuva in Yeradei and Simin Shetzari Hei, it says, Mikzas Yom Kukulo, Ayin Betur, Mechlekes HaPoiskim, this is far from agreed upon by everybody. Iba Inan Dafka Mikzas Hayom, or Fila Mikzas HaLayla. So half of the Rishonim say that you require Mikzas HaYom, literally daylight, and the other half of the Rishonim say no, even Mikzas HaLayla is acceptable. What is the source of this? Where does this come from? So it actually has its roots not in Hilchos Avelus, it has its roots in Hilchos Nida. There is a halacha that when a woman is trying to become tahora, she's trying to become permitted back to her husband, she has to count Shiva Nakiyim, she has to count 7 clean days, and the Gemara says in Maseches Nida that the 7th day that she counts need not be a complete day. But technically speaking, we apply the principle of Mikzas Yom Kukulo on the seventh day, and on the seventh day of the count, she could technically go to the mikvah. The Gemara says, even though that's the din in the Torah, that a woman can just count a little bit of the seventh day and go to the mikvah based on the principle of Mikzas Yom Kukulo, L'maisa midirabbanan, Chazal prohibited that. Chazal said you have to wait until the end of the seventh day, until the night, and a woman is not permitted to go to the mikvah until the night, which is, of course, the common practice of Zman Hazeh. Why Chazal made that is that the Rabban is based on a somewhat of a quirk, a technicality of Nida, that we're concerned that if we let her go to the mikvah, Nibi El Yom, and then she's together with her husband and she starts to bleed again, so there may be some serious problems retroactively that she was actually Asura all along because of some technical detail in Hilchos Nida with the Rabban. They stopped us from having the practice of a woman going to the mikvah, Nibi El Yom. Because the prohibition of going to the mikvah on the seventh day, Nibi El Yom, is only with the Rabban. That's why under certain very, very extenuating circumstances, there may be grounds to be made. Again, we're not willing to see them right now, but any discussion or anything you may have heard from anybody who said, sometimes, there may be a kula going to the mikvah, maybe El Yom on the seventh day, that's predicated on the assumption that Minat Torah, you could always go on the seventh day in the morning. The whole thing is Bidr Abanan, and sometimes Chazal may have listed that as Bidr Abanan. But Minat Torah, everyone agrees, well, we pass the Lach, you could for sure go in the morning of the seventh day. What about the night before? A woman is counting Shiva Nakiyim, and now it's the night of the seventh, coming up the seventh day. Can she go to the mikvah then? So that was a question in Rishonim, and the overwhelming judge of Rishonim said, no, absolutely not. That Minat Torah, that would not be acceptable. What is an akuna? What are they arguing about? So those Rishonim who prohibited it are assuming Mikzas Yom Kukulo only by Yom, not by Laila. And other Rishonim who are making that Shaila are assuming Mikzas Yom Kukulo could apply even the night before. How do we paskin Lalocha and the Shaila? So both in terms of Hilchos Nida as well as in terms of Hilchos Avelus, we do not rely on the Mekilim of this. We would never, ever let a woman go to the mikvah the night of the seventh, ever permit that. And in terms of Hilchos Avelus, we generally don't permit the Yisum of Avelus on the night of the seventh. We insist on waiting until the morning of the seventh day. So that's what the Pischat Shuvah, the end of the first line, the end of the third Rami Kavah says, V'dasa mechaber k'dasa Rami Rutenberg, v'dafka miktas hayom v'inan. That the Maram Rutenberg, who was a Rebbe of the Rosh, he was Machriya Lahalacha. We do not accept the view who is lenient about Mikzas Yom Kukulo at night. So that's the accepted halacha, Belim Shum Sofek, almost Belim Shum Sofek. Comes the Pischa Shuvah and continues. The Ayin Mishuta Radbaz, the Radbaz had the following question. Sheikh Ria, the Le'inyan Tamatur of Itashri Shamita, the Isbuhu Mitzvah, Islam the Mevsa Kadiri Hamakilim, the Mikzas Balik Yichalayim, says the Radbaz, true general practice is not to rely on Mikzas Yom Kukulo at night, but we're not 100% sure if that's correct. And therefore, if there's some kind of a shasat chak, some kind of a tzurich mitzvah involved, then we can turn around and be maker like the Ramban, like those we've shown him, who permit mixing of kukula even the night before. What would be an example of a makom mitzvah? Talmud Torah, the Avil never. The Avil 6 days behind the Daf Yomi. He wants to catch, wants to learn. Pastor Shami, he hasn't moved with his wife for a week already, so he wants to be makel in Dvarim Shal Mitzvah. So the Pesach Shuvah quotes in the Radvaz, we have a right to be makel. That mixes Yom Kukulo generally at night is not acceptable, but from a Kavos Mitzvah, it would be acceptable. Aval Brachit of a Sichos Shad Dvarim, the Leisbu Mitzvah, other parts that are not such a great Mitzvah, Paskirin Kedivya Mechmirim, the Bo Mixes of Yom Dafka, Flo Mixes of Laila. So basically, this is the Hachra of the Radvaz, the Pesach Shuvah quotes, that Dvarim Shal Mitzvah, we have a right to be makel. So it would appear that we do not have a right to follow this Pesach Shuvah, this Radvaz, this Ban Hazeh for the following reason. The Ramban himself tells us that why is it that Chazal instituted that you have to wait until a Midas HaMenachemim? We learned that Mikzeh B'Kul does not apply first thing in the morning. You have to wait until the Menachemim, until the comforters believe. Why is that? What do I have to wait for the Menachemim for? If the sun rises, I want to take a shower, I'll take a shower. What do you have to wait for the Menachemim to leave? The Ramban explains, Chazal did not want to set up a situation, because Avelos, a very, very bizarre situation. A fellow can get up from Shiva, he's already in the shower, he's already took off his shirt, that's great, he's already wearing his shoes, and now a guy comes to be Menachem Avel. It's a very bundle thing. So we don't want that the person is going to end Avelos and then sit down again and start Avelos. Stop, 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 go. So therefore Chazal said, close mind that you're still expecting visitors, don't end the Avelos. So Chazal put the brakes on the Avelos. The Avelos technically should have ended in the morning when the sun rises, like it does for Shloshim. But since there are Menachemim who are still coming, we can't end the Shiva until the last of the Menachemim actually pull out. A guy comes, walks in 2 o'clock in the afternoon, like he did, you know, what are you going to do? But if he's coming in the morning, 8 o'clock, you shouldn't end the Shiva until the last of the Menachemim gets up. When did the Radvaz and the Pesach Shuvah say that you have a right to end the Shiva at night of the 7th, at least Legabe Tzachem Shom Mitzvah? Because they were living in communities where Menachem didn't come the next morning. Remember, the Ramban just told us, nobody came the next morning. So that's what the Radvaz of the Pesach Shuvah said, that if it's the seventh night already, it's 10 o'clock at night, everybody left, nobody's coming tomorrow morning anyway, so then sure, so then vis-a-vis Tamatur, vis-a-vis Tashra Shanita, the Avelis is over. But if you live in a community where people are going to come, they're going to have a minion in the base office the next morning, the rabbi's going to come and take you for a walk around the block the next day, so there's going to be a Midas of Menachemim in a few hours from now. How in the world can you let this fellow, he's going to be with his wife, he's going to sit and learn Daf Yomi for 3 hours, and then tomorrow morning he's going to be sitting on the floor receiving Menachemim. That's going to be exactly what the Ramban said was not appropriate. So when did some post get willing to be makil, that once the night comes, it's over? That's only in a community where nobody's coming the next morning. But in our communities, our practice is that we do have a minyan the day off on the seventh day. We do make a fast, and Menachemim do come. Comforters do come on the seventh day in the morning. So to end the avails at night and then restart in the morning, that's ridiculous. So therefore, we have no right to follow this Pesach. That's the Fenia's Daipi. This Pesach doesn't apply in our communities. There's only one time in this Pesach Shuvah would apply in our communities. When is that? If you know for a fact nobody's coming. Why do you think no one's coming? Because it's Friday night. Well, of course nobody's coming. There are no Menachemim coming tonight, and no Menachemim coming tomorrow morning. So then maybe we have a right to fall back on this Radvaz and this Pesach Shuvah. What would that mean for our Shaila? The person who wants to go to the Shia before davening, so we were pilpling before a Gaval, did we finish Shachris or not? Did we not finish Shachris? Is it the equivalent of giving the guy an aliyah shachris, giving the guy an aliyah and nincha, and we're asking the gabbayim for their input? Forget it, we're going down the wrong road. It's mutter anyway. He could have come to the front next year. Because once we say that there are no menachemim coming the next morning, no one's coming tonight, no one's coming the next morning, dvarim shal mitzvah, we have a right to be make, we're going to shir, in the chamitzvah, tamatar, gadol mizeh. So that would be another tzad l'hok. So far we have two reasons to explain why the strange shir, we're trying to be master guy to come to a shir, trying to give him a heter to come and learn Torah. The starting point is he shouldn't be learning. We're going to find your kula to learn Torah. So kula number one was those communities that the Gaboim give aliyahs out of Shacharit. So according to them, the avails is over once the day begins. You don't have to wait till the end of davening. And number two, maybe we can even be more mekel. Maybe the night before is also sufficient. And then perhaps we have a third reason to be mekel, based on a general understanding of avails, how it does and does not play out on Shabbos. So we take a look at the fourth of the Marmakamos. Shabbos ate a mafsik avails. Shabbos does not cancel Avelus, unlike Yontif, which cancels Avelus. Yontif only cancels Avelus if the Avelus started before Yontif. If a person was sitting Shiva before Yontif, so then Shiva is canceled by Yontif. If a person was in the middle of Shloshim, then Yontif cancels Shloshim. But if the person starts, say the person is covered, makes him a regel, somebody dies on Chalamoid, dies in Yontif, and the person is buried on Yontif or Chalamoid, so then the Avelus is not canceled, rather everything is put on hold until after Yontif is over. So Shabbos does not affect Avelus at all. Eidam Afsik Avelus for all the Minyan Shiva, and Shabbos actually counts towards one of the days of Shiva. Why doesn't Shabbos cancel Avelus on Yontif? So there's a Machlekes Taisin and the Ramban. Why is that phenomenon true? So Taisin writes in Ma'ikotan, because Shabbos is not a Zman of Simcha. Only Simcha's Yontif can cancel Avelus. Shabbos is not a Zman. Simcha can cancel Avelus. And Ramban writes that's not the reason why. Ramban writes the reason why Shabbos doesn't cancel Avelus is because then you never have Shiva. The Takana Sechavim was, Moshe Rabbeinu made the Takana of Shiva. The notion of sitting Shiva was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu and his Beis Din. And the Takana was, Shiva Sumei Avelus. If Shabbos is going to cancel Avelus, you'll never have Shiva every 7 days. So it has a Shabbos in there. So once in a blue moon, the person is sitting Shiva and Yontif comes and cancels the Avelus. But if it's going to be every single person is going to be canceled by Shabbos, so he's one. So it turns out there was never a Takana of Shiva Sumei Avelus. So in Medhay Slice, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says that Shabbos doesn't cancel Avelus. And it counts towards the days of Avelus. Why does it count? Shriktas in Avelus Mogen Boy. That is Vam Shabbat Sina. Because an Avel does observe Avelus on Shabbos. Not true that there's no Avelus on Shabbos. There's no public Avelus, but there is private Avelus. What are some examples of private Avelus? He's not allowed to be with his wife on Shabbos of Shiva. He's not supposed to wash himself on Shabbos of Shiva. He's not supposed to be learning Torah privately during Shabbos of Shiva. Public manifestations of Avelus, such as he takes off his kriya, he puts his shoes back on, or those kinds of aspects of Shiva do not apply on Shabbos. But Dvarim Shebitzina are in full force. So now the question becomes, how do you define what's called Dvarim Shebitzina, what's called Dvarim Shebefahesya? Now some things are very obvious. So, well, for the Abel to be sitting on the floor, everyone's going to think that's the shul of Dvarim Shebefahesya. Take him walking, he's going to walk at the shul with his bare feet, that's called Dvarim Shebefahesya. He's going to walk at the shul with his shirt ripped, that's Dvarim Shebefahesya. None of those things apply in Shabbos. Tashra Shemit is obviously Dvarim Shebitzina. The Talmud Torah is a tricky one. So if you take a look at in the fourth of the Ramakamos, the first word line is a parsha. It's 5 lines from the bottom. This is also, once again, the world of the Gaboyim. L'chora, an Ovel, who is not supposed to be learning privately on Shabbos, should not be getting an Aliyah. Because if we're going to give him or not give him an Aliyah, that's not going to be registered for Hesia. Not every person in Shul gets an Aliyah every week. The Gaboy should conveniently not give the person an Aliyah. We're not talking about the case before when the seventh day of Shabbos. It's the third day of Avelus. Why in the world should we give him an Aliyah? That's not going to draw any attention. The fact that everyone's going to say, we're not giving him Aliyah, must because he's an Avel. Not Pitom. We're not giving him Aliyah because there are 500 other people in Shul. So not giving a person Aliyah is generally considered to be a Dvarim Shebetzina. Oh, that's the case. Oh, so that's what the Shulchan Aruch continues. So the first one is a parsha, 5 lines from the bottom. So it's the end of the line. The Imkara is a Avel Lalos, the Torah Tzach Lalos. What if the guy by goofed? The Gabbai says, Yamoy, then he gets Chaim ben Yaakov, he calls him up for an Aliyah, and then everyone starts screaming, Oi, what did you do? You made a mistake, you Gabbai, you don't know what you're doing. He's an Avel. So what's the din? At that point, he has to get the Aliyah. Why? Because if he's not going to get the Aliyah, at that point, that's going to be Marash Vahesya. Everyone's going to say, aha, he's not learning Torah because he's an Avelos, and that will be a public manifestation of Avelos. So we have to give him the Aliyah because he was called up by mistake. So it's based on this that the Shulchan Aruch quotes a famous story that happened in the days of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, he was the rabbi, he was the Rashivan in his shul. They used to give him Shlishi every week. When I lived in Kerbiyam, the Rashivan would go to get Shlishi every Shabbat. That was the minhag in the Yeshiva. So Rabbeinu Tam would get Shlishi every week. The Yerubai Avelus, and 1 week he was in Avelus. And the Gabbai, Chazin, the same thing. The Gabbai didn't call up Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam got all nervous. He said, they didn't call me up. But Olumi Asmai, he came up himself with the Aliyah. So no one could figure out what was going on. Here Rabbeinu Tam had taught that he had given the instructions to the Gabbai, written out the directions. Don't call up Avelim for Aliyah. And Rabbeinu Tam himself ran up and took the Aliyah. So Rabbeinu Tam explained himself. Imagine the confusion in the shul. So Rabbeinu Tam explained himself. When do we say not giving an Aliyah is not for Hesia? That's for a regular guy. But if you're not going to give Rabbeinu Tam, who gets Shlishi every week, so it's going to be clear that he's not getting the Aliyah because of Avelus, and that would be a violation of the din of being Noeg Avelus for Hesia on Shabbos. So Rabbeinu Tam went up for the Aliyah himself. Then the Ramah adds on, there's one Kohen in Shul, and the agave is not going to call off for kohen. So everyone's going to realize that's a veil to Bahasya. So mutla kreisai, avav minachin. Also, if there's more than one kohen, the same kohen doesn't get the aliyah every week, so call the other kohen up. The folks can talk about, let's say, there's an oval in shul, and he happens to also be a chiyah for an aliyah. His wife just had a baby. So normally he would get an aliyah. So the whole seven aliyah is going to go, and he's not going to get an aliyah. Everyone's going to say, what happened? Why didn't Reuven get an aliyah? So everyone's going to be able to say, Reuven didn't get the aliyah because he's an oval. Boom, that's going to be the bamshu fahasya. So Talmud Torah, getting aliyahs is a tricky thing. The captain's got to be on the ball, he's got to be in his game. He has to figure out, is by not giving the aliyah going to draw attention, or is not going to draw attention? If it's going to draw attention to the avelus, then I must give the aliyah, like the famous Talmud stories and the other potential parallel stories. So you see from here that Talmud Torah is a very, very tricky aspect of avelus, and it can go either way. Sometimes it's in something with Asya. Remember when I was, the week that I was sitting shiur with my father, so as the Rav, I had an issue. Should I give the shiurim in shul? Should I not give the shiurim in shul? On the one hand, an aval is not supposed to give teach Torah. On the other hand, it's a shalom v'es of Hesya. Also, Rabin Tzvichimel, maybe another factor. So I had to play it by ear. So what I did was, the Shabbos morning drush I didn't give, because every once in a while, I don't give a Shabbos morning drush. There's a long davening, Shabbos is chodesh. There are reasons why, you know, once in a while, I won't give a drush Shabbos morning. So that in and of itself is not a, everyone knows an aval anyway, but that is not, it doesn't matter what people know or don't know. Is that, is it a formal declaration that you're an avelus? So this is not a public declaration, because there are other times of the year when I don't give a drush in Shabbos morning. But the shiur with the mincha bayrev, if I'm there and I'm not going to give the shiur, so that's going to draw attention. That's something that never happens. So that I felt was necessary. So I did give the shiur with the mincha bayrev, but I gave the shiur about the dinim of avelus for Shabbos for Fasya, which is probably most of her novel to talk about anyway. So anyway, get back to this story. So you see that Talmud Torah is a very tricky one. It's hard to always know whether it's Tzina, whether it's Fahesia. So I asked this particular rabbi a very pointed question. I asked him, if this particular oval doesn't show up for the Shia on Shabbos morning, what's the reaction of the other people going to be? That depends upon, does this person always come to the Shia? Does he sometimes come to the Shia? Will he be noted that he's missing? How many people come to the Shia? It's a little embarrassing. I didn't want to question the rabbi, how many people come to the Pushach or Shia. You know, if two people come and he doesn't, the devil doesn't come. One person comes, the devil doesn't come. There could be Mamanusha. If a lot of people come, no one's going to realize that he's missing. If nobody comes, maybe it's not for Hesia. So I'm not sure where this is why. So I didn't want to put the rabbi on the spot asking how many people actually show up for the Shia. So I said to him, if you think there may be Chashash for Hesia, that would be another Sad Lahakil to insist that the person Dafka should come. So we have three Sad Lahakil. We have three reasons to believe that's okay. Either because maybe the Avelis end the Taka the night before, based on the Radaz, if it's a Chumash, it's Ram Shom Mitzvah. Or maybe it ends even before davening, on the morning of the 7th, and maybe it's Ram Shom Sheva Fahesia, which would permit even an Avel in the middle of Shiva to attend. Three Tzadim to make us the Talmud Torah, Yesh Makom Shas, Shas Chag Vavu, Yesh Makom Nogah.
This is the Ramayah that you hear about
the Torah, right? But he's not supposed to do that, because anyone who gets Aliyah's Mechub to read together with the Bakari, that would be an incorrect way of getting aliyah. So we wouldn't want to encourage that. We're supposed to be. Okay. You want to know where's the minhag menachem for him? Maybe you're right. Maybe the chacham. I don't know. Not sure. But I was telling over this to somebody, so they asked me, did you check what time the pre-shach mishia was? Neit Chama is very, very late these days. Another carpenter. What time is Neit today? Let's see, 7:19 or something. So it's getting to be almost the latest possible Neit. So last Shabbos, Neit 7:15 or something. So even those who say that Avelis ends in the morning, the Shulchan said you still need Neit Chama. So they asked me, which Pre-Shach Mashiach was it? So I was assumed that most Ashkar Minyanim don't have Pre-Shach Mashiach. They have Post-Shach Mashiach. Usually the Pre-Shach Mashiach are the or the 8:30 and later minyanim. So I was pretty safely assuming that the shiur was probably, although it probably should have been correct, I should have thrown my investigation and actually asked that question. So I called upon him, three kulas, yesh makom hakol. So, b'shatzach ha-gadol, yesh makom, you can be makel for the person to go to the rabbi shiur. But again, many, many issues that go into this particular work. And again, shiur that doesn't happen all the time, it does happen once in a while in this particular year. Of course, it actually happened a little bit more than it would happen on the normal. Okay, stop here. Okay, next Wednesday night, I have a chasa next Wednesday night, so there's not going to be a shiur. Let me continue. Okay.